You can find him on Twitter at Greg Karam. That was the housekeeping. These are your emails. You can email the podcast at podcast@amazonavenueaudio.com. And our first email from Matthew, and is very simple. What happens first, Wednesday in the premiership or Mets in the NLCS? Let's go Mets, up the Owls. We're on Wednesday, aren't we? Etc. So this is a fun question for me. I would say... I'd be able to answer when I've had a better idea of what they're going to do over the summer.
You have to go with the Mets in this scenario, because the Mets have a chance at making the playoffs this year. Sheffield Wednesday does not have a chance of making, I mean, realistically, they're not going to make the top six.
Right. No, that's fair, but it's not just the Mets make the playoffs. Mets have to make the playoffs, win a one-game playoff, in all likelihood, and win a five-game series. Holy fuck, that was great. That was amazeballs. I'm your host, Jeffrey Paternostro. With me is Steve Steffa and Greg Karam. Gentlemen, before we get into the opening question, like we usually do, just a salvo, an opening salvo, an amuse-bouche, your thoughts.
Whoa.
I just like laughing, because that's all I started to do. Once Familia struck out the last guy, I was just, me and my wife were just sitting there laughing. Like there's just pure joy. And that's how I feel right now. I'm on cloud nine. This is why you're a fan. This is why we do it. This is the feeling you're looking for.
Yes. And we might get it like 14 more times. I might die instead. But for now, at least, I'm just sipping Fernet Branca out of a tiny... Mets shot glass, because it felt appropriate, and my stomach hurts, and my body hurts. I don't even like Fernet. I have it in the house because my bartender friend likes Fernet, because he's a New York City bartender, and that's all they drink. But it does supposed to settle your stomach. It's an Italian bitter. But it is, That was something. We'll get to it. There's a lot to cover. Let me tell you. But as promised, we'll start with an opening question. After the Mets clinched the National League Division Series against the Los Angeles Dodgers, Mets manager Terry Collins dove into the stands and started hugging random Mets fans. So if you would get a hug from one Met, coach or player, who would it be? Greg Karam.
I would go with David Wright, just because that might be my only opportunity to ever, like, touch David Wright. And
that escalated quickly.
I would have to take it. I'm going straight up creepy. I don't even care.
I would go with Bartolo, because he looks very huggable.
Good choice. I'm going to go with Daniel Murphy. Well, for one, I think he deserves it after tonight's game. And as we all know, we've seen the GIF, he gets really, really impassionate in his hugs, apparently. Like the one leg up wrapped around Duda. So this is episode 147 of Mason Avenue Audio. New York Mets defeated the Los Angeles Dodgers. They will play the Chicago Cubs in the National League Championship Series starting this Saturday at Citi Field. That feels like it's really soon.
Yeah,
it's really
soon.
It's the day after tomorrow. It's still technically the day after tomorrow. It's 11:55 on Thursday, so we're still good. I don't know. Yeah. What I got here to add. I guess we need to recap.
I don't even have time to take a breath here. It's just like we just got to roll right into it.
Okay, so we'll start at... We kind of talked about this a little bit off air. All of us thought the Mets were going to lose this game, if we're honest with ourselves. Because the Mets always lose this game.
When Chase Utley hit that ball in the ninth, I was convinced it was a home run.
So like, the funny thing is, we had the email on yesterday's show about a punishment for Chase Utley. I think actually the best punishment for Chase Utley, who is, like, I think completely toast as a baseball player now, was just absolutely shitting all over a hanging splitter from Familia and having it go 300 feet.
Yeah.
Just sort of, like, all, like, the ravages of age catching up to him in that one sort of moment.
I enjoyed it, I'll tell you that.
I enjoyed it once I saw the camera was not panning up into the right field bleachers.
Yeah.
Until that moment, I did not enjoy it so much.
Yes.
So, I think we need to start with Jacob DeGrom. I feel like that's a good place to start. Jacob DeGrom had nothing tonight.
No.
From the get-go.
Yeah, from the get-go. The fastball was up. He was missing arm side and up. He was just overthrowing everything. It was, he didn't get to like 95, 96. You know, I don't know if he's gassed or if it was just, you know, one of those nights. If he's just, you know, thrown more innings than he's thrown in his career. I don't know. But I was like furiously tweeting. You can go back and see it. I was a wreck. About how they need to have like Robles up to get out of this inning and then go to Thor. But he got through the first inning more, you know, with two runs. And the same thing happened in the second inning. I tweeted the same thing. I think Syndergaard finally got up then. And Syndergaard got up like five more times. But, you know, whether it was luck, whether it was just he found the right pitches at the right time, you know, six innings later, he left with a lead.
Well, you know, it was also similar to his last start where I feel like he fell behind a lot early. This was obviously much worse. Much worse.
Obviously. Yeah.
But the last two innings, I felt he finished kind of stronger. The curveball was really working for him. And I felt a little bit more confident. Like when he got, when Terry did not pinch hit for him, I disagreed with it. But I thought there was a decent chance that he came out there and threw two more zeros up, and which is what he did. But I still would have pinch hit for him in that spot.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, it was kind of a head scratcher there.
I mean, the entire game did feel like Terry Collins just repeatedly hitting on 16 at a blackjack table, having a 5 show up.
That's exactly. Well, yeah.
But you know, I got to give him credit, and it's, you know what, I've tried to make it work, but it's just Jacob DeGrom's a motherfucker after that start.
You're gonna ditch the one bad,
one bad ombre. Yeah, it's gone. Yeah, it's just he's a motherfucker. I mean, there's no. Whatever I was screaming bloody murder on Twitter, it's just, I mean, that's just like big brass balls. And then there was Daniel Murphy.
Oh my God, Daniel
this
Murphy.
This was like, I think I tweeted when they had runners on first and second for him yesterday, or Tuesday, at City. This was like the maximum Murph potential. I could not actually in that moment have conceived what maximum Murph potential was actually going to look like. But we
saw
it.
The best part about that whole play on the base paths is that, like, two pitches before, he almost got doubled off on first base.
There was that moment where it's like, I'm like, why is Jock Peterson throwing to, oh my God, where's Murphy?
Right.
He could be anywhere on the baseball field right now. I have no idea. This man walked off the baseball diamond in the middle of an inning a month ago.
Oh my God. But what a heads up play, man.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that.
And then he slid into third for no reason.
Yeah, but whatever. A little style. I think Mookie Betts did something similar on a stolen base earlier in the year.
He stole second and then stole third, I think. I'm second.
Yeah, no, not exactly the same thing, but like I haven't seen something like that similarly. And what a heads-up play, man. Jeez.
Well, it's like it was a long con. It's, you know, like Curtis Granderson not taking, not swinging at a first-pitch fastball for, like, 3 months to set up that first pitch to Kershaw. It was like Daniel Murphy's 7 years of terrible base-running blunders to set up.
you could see him deking him going in, though, right? He's just, like, kind of lollygagging.
Yeah. And then he just, like, glances back at Greinke. Oh, yeah, I know. It's Murph, man.